Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop highlights the profound significance of Ephesians 6:12 for every believer. This scripture reveals the unseen spiritual forces at work behind the scenes of our struggles, personally, nationally, and globally. Discern the root causes of these negative cycles and be equipped and empowered to develop supernatural resilience and discernment so you can stand strong against every enemy scheme. Know today that this is God's word of empowerment for you. Be inspired as you listen.
Please turn your Bible to Ephesians 6:12. Until you have an understanding of this scripture we are about to read, you are a victim and a casualty in this world and in this life.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I submit to you on authority that until you can make sense of Ephesians 6:12, until you have in-depth understanding of the workings of these cosmic powers, may I submit to you that this world is not ruled and controlled by the presidents and by those you see in authority. You are joking. It's controlled by Ephesians 6:12. They are responsible of the chaos of the nations of our world. They rule, they control, they govern families, nations, individuals. And may I submit to you the title of my message, The Enemy Within, that the enemy will fight you from within. He fights through anyone who has access to you. He operates through people who have access to you. Most time we think that the enemy works through witches and through demons. Yes, he does. But demons and witches don't operate in a vacuum. In a vacuum. They don't operate in the void of space. They work through human beings to carry out their assignment for other human beings. And as long as you live in this flesh of yours, you will every now and then contend and wrestle with these cosmic powers. It's an ongoing conflict. It's an ongoing conflict. From the day you were born to the day you die, whether you believe it or not, you can stand on the tallest building in Accra and jump and say, I don't believe in the law of gravity, and very soon we will attend your funeral service. It's not a matter of what you believe and you don't believe. It's the reality of life. And I submit to you, make no mistake, that this world is governed by Ephesians 6:12. And these cosmic powers, they operate through human beings. They function through human beings to carry out their agenda for humanity. And they will use anyone. They will use your husband, your wife, your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, cousins, uncles, aunties, loved ones. It doesn't matter. They will use anyone, anything, to frustrate the will of God for your life, to sabotage God's destiny for your life. A lot of people live in this world. They live carelessly. They walk aimlessly. They think life is all about making money and becoming famous and trending on social media and having relevance. They think that is what life is all about. But may I submit to you on authority, ladies and gentlemen, that life is more than trending on social media. It's more than becoming famous. And it is more than making and having money. You and I were born And I've come into the world for such a time like this to perform a duty, a responsibility to the benefit of humanity and mankind and to the glory of God. How I pray that we will not live carelessly and walk aimlessly. That when the curtains are drawn down and the dust settles and water finds its level and your moment and your time in this world is over, that you will not die and leave this world not fulfilling the purpose for which you came. For we will all give an account on that day. There will be no excuse, for ignorance of the law is no excuse. You can't give an excuse and say, well, I didn't know why I was born, so I lived carelessly and I walked aimlessly and I made money and I built houses and I became famous. All that don't mean and don't matter. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is governed by Ephesians 6:12. Unseen persons, they are real. And the battle is fierce, and the conflict is ongoing. We are living in a time of spiritual emergencies, and drastic measures are required for our survival. Matthew 16:22-23.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
Whenever we place emphasis on the things that be of men and not of God, we become adversaries of God. We become tools and vessels in the hands of the adversary against other human beings. At this time, Jesus had met with his disciples, and he placed a question to them and said, who do men say that I am? What is being said of me in town, among all these intellectuals and brilliant men and women? Who do they say that I am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah, Elias, risen from the dead, Jeremiah. Jesus said, that is how limited logic and philosophy and intellectual capabilities can be. That is how limited they can be. But you that are with me and have walked with me and have seen the wonders of Almighty God, who do you say that I am? Everybody was quiet. Then Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, if you had lived for 1,000 years, flesh and blood, human intelligence and capabilities would have never been able to reveal to you what you just revealed about who I am and my identity. And he said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, understand that before this particular event here, the demons had always revealed who he was, but his disciples could not get it. Every now and then, when Jesus went to the synagogue or any community, the demons cried and said, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, hast thou come to destroy us before our time? They knew who he was. They knew, the demons knew who he was. And it wasn't the Father or the Holy Spirit who revealed to the demons who Jesus was. They knew who he was because they were spiritual beings or supernatural beings. And the apostles were with him and didn't know who he was. The Bible said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. It's dangerous to move with people, live with people, and they don't know who and don't know who they are. I remember when I went to Bible school, there was a friend of mine that was with me. And he was operating with a familiar spirit. We went to Bible school together. We slept in the same dormitory together. We were friends. And when I got to a place when I became very serious with my spirituality and my spiritual life, I began to pray in certain realms and dimensions in the spirit. And I began to gain certain attitude in the realms of the spirit. And the Lord opened my eyes. And I realized that this friend I cared about so much and loved and prayed with was on assignment. That he was on assignment being used by the adversary to get at me. And when I began to pray, he fell out of school and he left the Bible school because his cover was blown. He realized that he couldn't carry out his assignment and mandate when it comes to what God had called me to be. He left the school. We did everything for him to stay. He couldn't stay. But the Lord opened my eyes and I saw that he wasn't just a friend. He was an opening. He was a tool. He was a weapon in the hands of the adversary to sabotage my destiny and what I was born to be. He was smart. He was intelligent. But he wasn't wise. In this world, if you are brilliant, if you are smart, you are wise, which is what education provides. You can make money. You can trend on social media. You can have relevance. And yet, he and the one that is wise will last. Will last. Wise people last. Fools, brilliant, intelligent people, they die early. Because they believe in their own skill. They believe in their own capabilities. They think they are better. They can figure out everything than anybody. But there comes a time in all of our lives when your brilliance and your intelligence and skill is restricted and limited. And it is that day that you realize the need of the supernatural and spirituality. Until you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that Ephesians 6:12 is what governs the nations of the world. All these people you hear, president, minister, honorable, excellency, they are not in charge of this world. They are not in charge. It's Ephesians 6:12 that controls this world. And to be successful, to fulfill your mandate, you must understand how Ephesians 6:12 operates. They work through other human beings. They operate through people who have access to you. What do you do when the enemy attaches an enemy, when the enemy attaches a demon to a loved one of yours? What do? It's easy to fight an enemy out there. But how do you navigate? And how do you deal with a loved one when the enemy attaches a demon to a loved one? When the enemy attaches what you hate into what you love, how do you deal with that? We are in a state of emergency. We can't pray as usual anymore. Can't fast as usual anymore. The times have changed. The times have changed. What we are used to and what used to work before don't work anymore. Because the adversary knows that he has a short time. And time is of the essence. And he's throwing everything at you and I. And until we realize that the times have changed. And what used to work before doesn't work anymore. We are in trouble. And I pray. Sometimes I worry for my children and my grandchildren. I was telling one of my son-in-law, I said, son, you need to train these daughters of yours to be warriors. And until you train them to become warriors, you have failed as a father. And that is the mistake we are all doing, thinking that education is everything. We train them, give them good education, and we are proud of our children graduating from the best of schools, having all these educational certificates, but they are bankrupt. They are spiritually bankrupt. Bankruptcy in the knowledge of Adonai, have no understanding of Ephesians 6:12. They have no understanding of the forces that controls and govern this world. And we think we've done a good job. What good job have you done? You give them education, you think that is it. You are joking. You are a failure the day you die. And everything you've worked for, like Solomon said, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Like Solomon said,
yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me.
You will leave it. All this wealth you are creating, you will leave it one day.
And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?
He said, I don't know whether the one that comes after me shall be wise or fools. And whether they will be wise or fools has everything to do with how we have trained and groomed them. And we are raising parasites and not warriors.
Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun.
Wise. This, not smart, not also intelligent, but wise. Why?
This is also vanity.
You see, it's vanity. And it's exactly what happened. The guy that inherited Solomon was a fool. He wasn't a warrior. Listen to what the Sheikh of Dubai said recently. I have a lot of respect for this guy. He said something that I can't shake off my mind. I keep thinking about the sayings of the Sheikh of Dubai. Listen to what he said.
The founder of Dubai, Sheikh Rashid, was asked about the future of his country, and he replied, my grandfather rode a camel. My father rode a camel. I ride a Mercedes. My son rides a Land Rover. And my grandson is going to ride a Land Rover. But my great-grandson is going to have to ride a camel again. Why is that? He was asked. And his reply was, hard times create strong men.
Listen, the difficulties you and I had in our upbringing, the sufferings we encountered, the tough times we had, has made of us the kind of materials we are. We are survivors. I am a survivor. Mosulu kutund kelang kewuns solanda kafahasan miletu kunda kasahalada awala kasala. I am a survivor. I am a survivor because I've come from the backside of the desert. I wasn't raised in the palace of kings and princes and princesses. I was raised at the backside of the desert. I was raised at Dondoli, Wapani, Jejereiri, Tinonsolko, Bolgatanga, and Zwarungu, where you'll be passing and a tree will call your name. A tree will call your name and say, how are you today? You are looking at me. That's why you have no respect for spirituality, because you haven't seen anything. I was raised in an area where you'll be passing and a tree will call your name. A tree will call and say, hey, Nicholas, how are you today? When you encounter those things, you will realize that there is something greater than logic and philosophy in life. The Bible said, and Jesus answered the fig tree. If Jesus answered the fig tree, it stands to reason logically that the fig tree said something others didn't hear, but Jesus heard it. Go ahead.
Hard times create strong men.
He said hard times, difficult times, hardship create strong men and strong women like you and I. I am a survivor.
Strong men create easy times.
Strong men create easy times.
And easy times create weak men.
And that is what happened. Easy times create weak men.
And weak men create difficult times.
We have weak men Men that are supposed to be strong are weak. Because easy time they were made. They are product of easy times. So they are not survivors. Go ahead.
Weak men create difficult times. Mm-hmm. Many will not understand it. But you have to raise warriors and not parasites.
Look at me. Ask somebody. Are you raising warriors or parasites? Ask them. You, are you raising warriors or parasites? There are parasites all around us today. Parasites. You don't have what it takes to confront anything. In the midst of war and emergency, they still do business as usual. When drastic measures are required, Kadula, Kawasala, for the survival of future generations, they settle for the comforts of today at the expense of tomorrow. Makulami Akusalaha. Go ahead.
And add to that the historical reality that all great empires,
listen carefully,
the Persians, the Trojans, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and in latter years the British, all rose and perished within 240 years.
If you are a student of history, you will understand what is in the horizon. And when I say that the church and nations are in the state of emergency, you will understand and appreciate it.
They were not conquered by external enemies. They rotted from within. America has now passed that 240-year mark. And the rot is starting to be visible and is accelerating.
America.
We are past the Mercedes and Land Rover years. The camels are on the horizon.
Hear me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to the days of the camels. The days of the Range Rovers and the days of the Mercedes and the BMW and the Rolls Royces are over. I wish I could put fear in you, the fear of God, and make you afraid because you are too comfortable. I'm very worried. I'm very worried when I see the state of the church today, especially the charismatic church, the laxity, the insensitivity, the foolishness, the looseness, the covetousness. In our pulpit and among our men and women of God. The envy, the striving, the sense of competition and wanting to be others and not fulfilling the great mission. And it's all about crowd and numbers and money and deep pockets and the Mercedes and the Range Rovers. I worry about the future of the charismatic church, what shall become of us? When I see the kind of leaders we are raising, they are parasites. They are not warriors. These are not men and women that understand the reality of the spiritual world. A preacher said to me the other day, he said, Papa, he said, my wife provokes me. And if something is not done, one of these days, I will go have an affair out of my marriage. And I said, you know something? You a parasite. He said, what do you mean? Are you insulting? I said, yes, I'm insulting you. You a parasite. He said, what do you mean, Papa? I said, the issue at stake is not how your wife is handling you or provoking you. She's being used and she doesn't even know or realize that she's being used to trigger and to provoke you. He said, what do you mean? I said, the enemy has tried everything to bring you down, and he can't because he has nothing on you. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but has nothing on me. He said, what does that mean? I said, the day you go having an affair outside your marriage, you have given demons legal grounds and a foothold. Ephesians 4:27. You've given them a legal ground, a foothold. You've given them a technicality and a legality to have an advantage over you. But as long as you maintain your purity, they have no power over you. So I said, it's not your wife, it's your ignorance that is would destroy you. I said, I'm warning you, the day you go out having an affair out of your marriage, you've played into the hands of the enemy. That is what he's seeking for. He can't get you. The closest thing he can use is your wife to vex you, to provoke you. So I said to him, I said, preacher, understand what you are dealing with. The spiritual wickedness, they want access. They want an opening. They want an occasion. They want an advantage to lord it over you, to afflict you. And I said, the day you do that, and I said, sex is binding. And if you go sleep with a witch, you'll be accessed. Bishop Obodai has a friend. He's a prophet. He had his wedding. On the honeymoon night, the wife said to him, prophet, did you say you're a prophet? He said, yes, I'm a prophet. I can see. He said, the day you ate the palm nut soup and the fufu I prepared for you, didn't you realize that that was the day I bind you? And he said, what do you mean? He said, I'm a witch. I was assigned to come and bring you down, and you fell for it. And he said, the day you ate the palm nut soup was the day I finished you. Those of you who eat anywhere and you will eat anything, keep eating. Keep eating, keep eating, keep eat. Tell somebody, say, keep eating. Yeah. You eat everywhere, you eat everything. I went somewhere with my wife, very important place. And when they were bringing the food and everything, somebody came out with the food to serve us. When I saw the person, my stomach, I said to my wife, aha. She said, what's going on, babe? What's going on, babe? I said, this is not babe issue. This is flea issue. And I said, babe, I'm eating the food. She said, you can't say that, babe. You got to eat the food. You have all this dignity. And I said, let them all be dignified. I'm going to be foolish. I ain't eating the food. So when they said, everybody, when it got to my term, I said, I'm not eating. I'm fasting. You can call me any name you want to call me. When we came home, she had a running stomach. My stomach. Babe, my stomach. And I said, me, I don't have any stomach. My stomach is intact because I didn't eat. Those of you who want to justify lack of spirituality, foolishness, it makes sense. Me, it's not everything. When I see it, I find a way to escape. Call it anything you want to call it. Somebody say, I hear you. Until you understand, ladies and gentlemen, Ephesians 6:12, you are a victim and you are a casualty in this world. I'm telling you. Akolasia, Semaluku Tahada, Ayala. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 to 36. Let me allow the scriptures to speak to you now.
Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
I'm writing a book entitled Contradictions. This is one of the contradictions.
For I have come to set a man against his father,
mm-hmm.
a daughter against her mother,
mm-hmm.
and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household.
Hear me. The spirit of Joseph's brothers is still in operation. That spirit of jealousy of your own siblings is still in operation. Don't be fooled. Yeah. The spirit of Cain is still working. The envy of David's brothers to shut him down is still in operation. Spirits don't die. They move from one generation to another generation. So please don't be fooled. A man's enemies shall be those of his own house. Paul said the other day, a thorn in the flesh. The Bible never told us what a thorn was, but a thorn is something in the flesh, means it's so close and it pinches. It's so close. Some of you, the enemy you are dealing with is so close. I live in Bulgatanga years ago with an auntie of mine. I remember I was going to church and this teacher had died. And we were going to the service to go bury the teacher. And my auntie said, Nicholas, I want you to stop going to that church. And she suggested another church for me to attend. And this is the church everybody attended, the elite of society. Everybody goes to that church. They had a white missionary. And it looked so good and great. But it lacks spirituality. It lacked something. I knew that with my challenges and where I was coming from and the things that I was dealing with that confronted me, the nightmare and the challenges I dealt with, I needed more than a church that looked good and everything was all right. I needed something strong. I needed strong medicine. I remember one time I was President Rawlings and we were talking and he said, Chief, he used to call me Chief. He said, Chief, you know, our people, the thing is strong. You know, he said, you Christians, he said, by you, when you pray, it's strong, it's hot, I feel it. And I can understand why some of these leaders will not go to our churches, because our churches are weak. There is no spirituality. All we do is the sign of the cross. Demons are not afraid of the sign of the cross. Those of you who have been fooled when they do the sign of the cross, please give me a break. They are not afraid of the sign of the cross. They fear in the name of Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus. So my auntie said, don't go to that church. But I went, and I remember on our way back from the cemetery, past the Bulgatanga Hospital, we got to a place called Edu Jemfi Quarters, opposite the High Court. And the truck we were in somersaulted into the valley. And bodies were all over the place. And I screamed, Jesus! It was an utterance. I didn't even think about it. And I just heard myself say, Jesus! And I believe an angel of the Lord immediately came on the scene and picked me up. And set me on my feet. And I was standing, I remember. I was standing like this. And I lifted up my eyes and I saw my auntie standing among the corn farm at the Roman Catholic school opposite Edu Jemfi Quarters at Bulgatanga, next to the High Court. I never said anything. Many years after, I asked, I said, Auntie, what were you doing at that place? She said, you saw me. I said, yes, I saw you. And she said, she was told that there was a terrible accident that had taken place. So she came to see what was happening, to witness the accident. And I said, but Auntie, we live behind the government transport estate. That is next to Reverend Eastwood Annabeth's church. So how did you got there immediately the accident took place? She was quiet. She didn't say anything. And I also didn't say anything. But I knew that she was carrying a negative energy. And her assignment was to abort my destiny. But I pray for you that your destiny will not be aborted. I pray for you that you will not celebrate spiritual assassins who have been assigned to you to abort your destiny, and yet your eyes have there, but they see not, because you have been veiled. How I pray that the veil will be destroyed. How I pray that the veil will be destroyed, and you begin to have eyes to see. Hear me. Ephesians 6:12 cannot be handled by physical capabilities. Keep it in mind. We're in a state of emergency. Ephesians 6:12 can only be handled by supernatural capability. Everybody say supernatural capability. Say it again. Say supernatural capability. Say it one more time. Say supernatural capability. It will take more than physical capability. Because these are the true beings. These are the governing powers of the world. They govern. They control the world. They are responsible for the ongoing conflict and the wars and the things that don't make sense. All these wars across the nation and this drug addiction and all this wickedness going on across the nations of the world. They are responsible. And it takes more than physical capabilities to deal with them. That's why we can't solve the problem of malaria and this bad mosquito bite in Africa. There are so many things we will never be able to address them without divine capabilities. And again, may I say this? I have zero tolerance for those of you who have no regard for spirituality and think that everything is physical capabilities. You are to be pitied. And the day they take you out, I'll still be here. As a matter of fact, I may attend your funeral service. Okali Akasala Isala Imosali Kadilasa. A preacher came to me and said, Papa, anytime I fast and pray, I see myself on my bed with a snake sleeping next to me. What is the meaning? And I said, I don't have the gift of interpretation of dreams, O man of God. He said, but what does it mean? I said, I don't know. I don't know what it means. If you don't know what it means, whenever you fast and pray, you see snakes sleeping next to you, and you want me to give you the interpretation, then the snake will bite you. I know what it means. I cannot tell him. I remember some years ago, one of my spiritual daughters was going to marry one of my spiritual sons. And when he came to tell me, I said, this one, she's the granddaughter of Delilah. She's a hired assassin. She will finish you. He went and told her that Papa said, you are a witch. So she came to confront me. And I looked at her and I said, You think I'm afraid of you? You can't intimidate me. You know who you are. She said, who am I? I said, thou knowest. She said, who am I? I said, thou knowest who thou art. And I told her who thou art. They went ahead and they married. And the two of them, they divorced and they married three times and they are still divorced. Three times. And the other day I was in this country and some friends of his came to me and said he wanted to come and see me because I have cursed him. And I said, I did not curse him. I didn't curse him. I just told him that he was marrying Delilah's granddaughter. When you know that the thing you are sleeping with is evil, and because you lack the audacity and the courage to confront it because of shame and embarrassment of the school of public opinion, you live with it, you die. You die and you forfeit the reason for which you were born, for physical and earthly union that has no spiritual and eternal consequences. A day will come when you stand before the master and they will ask you, did you fulfill your purpose and your destiny for which you came into this world? And no amount of excuses given on that day will count and will mean anything. Ladies and gentlemen, fulfill destiny for which you were born. Winston Churchill of Great Britain, the Prime Minister of Great Britain in the 40s, he said, there come a time in the life of every man when destiny taps you on the shoulders to perform a duty for which you were born. And he said, what a tragedy it is when that moment comes to find you unprepared. My assignment today is to prepare you to understand that you are in a state of emergency and you can't pray as usual anymore. Business as usual don't hold anymore. We are dealing with cosmic powers. We are dealing with persons without bodies, wicked spirits in high places, and they are not taking any chances. And we are fighting an enemy that is firing on us, AK-47, and you are attacking him with a knife. you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to verse 30.
Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you,
look at the things you have to lose.
There is no man that has left house.
House.
Or brethren.
Sometimes it costs you a house. It will cost you brethren.
Or sisters.
Or sisters.
Or father.
Or a father.
Or mother.
Or a mother.
Or wife.
A wife.
Or children.
Controversy.
Or lands. Or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution.
With persecution.
And in the world to come, eternal life.
We want everything added to us without persecution. But don't say, I'll give you back everything you lose. I'll give it to you. Including persecution. That there will be people who will not accept. They will not accept your success. You have enemies for the blessing of God on your life. But Jesus said, you got to lose something to gain something if you be a good disciple. There are people who want to serve God. They don't want to lose anything. But to fulfill his purpose, you must lose something. There's a price to pay. I wrote a book entitled, The Price of Greatness. Get it? Everybody love to see. They love to see the ambience and everything that they are seeing, but they don't know the price. They don't know the story behind the story. Kadulas, Eyalakusalam, Salam Kafan, Wahasalam, Ilutukundi Kalima Salahasun. My greatest mandate is to prepare you and to make you a warrior, that it doesn't matter where they throw you in life, you can survive. You can bounce back. They put you in a pit and the pit can't hold you. They put you in prison and the prison can't hold you. It doesn't matter where they put you. You will always fight and bounce back. Tell somebody, fight. Hear me. I have zero tolerance for this nice Christianity. This very nice Christianity, I have zero tolerance for it. It's all fake and hypocrisy. That's what it is. Where everything looks very nice and very fine. The services are very orderly. And you can predict the choir sings and they read the first scriptures. And they put this on the screen. And everything looks so. And then they give you homework and all those foolishness. When the demons knock at your door, you need more than that. Are you hearing me, somebody? When they invade you, you will need more than that. You will need some aggressiveness to say, in the name of Jesus, wrong address, go somewhere else. Passover, Passover, Passover. Somebody say, Passover, Passover. Passover this house. Go somewhere else. Not this address, wrong address. And I have seen the enemy knocking at people's door, invading people's home, and they don't know what to do. They are stuck, very educated, brilliant, and they don't know how to deal with the demons. They don't know how to deal with the devil. Someone will call me the other day. Somebody called me. He said, my mother is dying. She's dying. She can't speak. She can't speak. And I said, you have to speak. You have to say something. And she said, she can't. And I said, she will say something. And I said, say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I am the Redeemer of the Lord. Say it. And I said, I unblock. I release your voice. You will speak. Say in the name of Jesus. Say it. Say it. I command you. Say it. And suddenly, she said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm the Redeemer of the Lord. And I say, say it. I say, say it. The Bible said, let the Redeemer of the Lord, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, say so. Somebody say, say it, say it, say it, say it. Read Zephaniah 3:15.
The Lord has taken away thy judgment.
Thy judgment. Judgment must be taken away.
And he has cast out thine enemy.
Taking away the enemy from among us.
The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt see evil no more.
Somebody said, no more evil, no more evil. Say, I will not see evil anymore. Within my walls, within my dwelling, or within my gates, I will see no evil anymore. If you believe it, put your hands together. Somebody scream and say, yes. Come on, somebody say, yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. You know what? I'm not going to try to finish. Stand on your feet. I'll stop here. Are you clapping? Are you clapping? Lift up your hands. Say in the name of Jesus. In the light of scripture, by divine authority, say, I bind all the weak point in my life, within my walls, in my family. Say, I bind enemies within. Put your hands up. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. The weak links. I bind the weak links. I bind the enemy within. I bind them. I bind enemies within. Weak links. Kudas. Lay to Kasala. May Kasula. Isakadun. They tune the can. They say Lukasin. Oh, Kadila Masala, Yala Makusunda Kipalandaza, oh, Kasaba, Mulas, Lay, Kidua San, I want to go to the next level, next dimension. Araku San, I don't want to stay at this level anymore. New levels, new dimensions, new experience, new encounters. Oh, Spirit of the Living God, I desire light, illumination. I'm tired of this level. I want to go to the next level. Put your hands together. Pray, pray. Obtain new levels, new encounters, a new experience. Sadusa, Sadusa. Oh, Kibahasalan, Mele Kutalanda Kus, Mekusawanda Hasa. Push it, push it, push it.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1-877-361-5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233-26767-6055, +233-26767-6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.